right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. On the line, my guest, Mr. Al Holmes. He is the executive director and president of My Father's House. You know, Al, before we went to break, I was listening to, you know, the little song that they were playing at the end before we went on break. And as great a song as I've ever heard, the lyrics, the power of it, and yet something like that does not make it. But you can find something with the most vulgar, you know, lyrics, and you know, and take a gun and blow that so and so's brains out, and that becomes a number one hit. You know, part of all the things that we're dealing with in the society today, Al, and especially in urban centers and other places across this nation, a lot of that is orchestrated. And I'll say this, man. Yeah, parents certainly have a responsibility. You know, as a parent myself, I had parents who made sure that we followed the straight and narrow. I did the same with mine. And the world has changed around us and around parents. And, you know, parents, yes, still have a responsibility, you know, to deal with these issues. I know that, again, my parents had 13 of us. My father could work on a job that made it possible for my mom to be working. I mean, to stay home and raise us, you know, those 13 children. And now, you know, to be quite frank with you, and when I was a young boy, the majority of my peers, you know, had a mother and father at home, and dad worked, and mom raised the children. You look at today's society, and it doesn't matter what color, you know, one out of two, and even marriages end in divorce. Is probably a little bit higher than that. And most of these children are basically being reared by single parents. Now, I'm not saying that it's not impossible to do it, but it takes an extraordinary person to be able to raise a child today, you know, as a single person who works. Because the dad is not there working and providing as you and I were, so you know we're asking single mothers, when I'm talking with the kids at school, I know exactly what you know mom is up against. She's got a couple children, three maybe, you know, and she can't deal with trying to take care of the young boy who now is, you know, 10, 11 years old, and, you know, he's not interested in SpongeBob anymore, especially if there's some hooligan who's on the block who's 17 years old who's going to take advantage of that young boy. You know, I'm not saying that mothers and the people who you know, are guardians of these children don't have a responsibility, but, you know, the society itself play some role in this.
Most definitely, and just as you work in the schools, I was an administrator of Milwaukee Public Schools and federal programs, and I also coached high school sports in five different high schools in the Milwaukee community for 49 years. Most of the kids I coached in track and field, basketball, football, and volleyball came from single-parent homes. My birthday is coming up soon, and I get anywhere between 40 and 100 birthday cards from all over the United States from kids I used to coach. I have one hanging on the wall in my office from a young lady I coached 40 years ago. And she makes it her business to make sure she sends me a card every year. And she states that I was the male role model in her life because there was none at home. And the point I'm making is the fact that we step up to help young people to see the right way to do things. And those who are athletes and involved in other after-school activities get direction from people outside of the family, which gives them direction to see and give them hope that they can do something beyond being living in poverty. The point is, we need to address the problem, which is the home itself. I have worked with parents for years trying to help them better themselves, to get better employment, to focus on doing things a little differently so that they can have a wholesome home for their children and their and better their lives. That's what we do here. But the point is, our society has accepted all of this other stuff, the rap music, the whatever. I grew up with Motown, Motown, rhythm and blues. And the deal is 90% of that music was about love. It was about trying to be nice to other people, what have you. And then all this gangster stuff comes in, and all they're talking about is destroying the household, destroying the family, destroying the life of another person, not helping a person, but to use them and abuse them and then kick them to the curb. I grew up in the streets, and most people who know me don't know that. My parents died when I was 4 and 5 years old. My grandparents, who tried to take care of me, died when I was 11 and 12. I grew up in the streets. I ate out of garbage cans. I lived in cardboard boxes. I don't go around professing that, but that's my life.
Right.
And I did something to make my, I made a commitment to myself that if I brought a child on this earth, they would never live as I did in my past. And I don't blame what happened, but the point is it happened and I survived. I survived Vietnam. I survived Laos. I survived all over this country. But the point is I teach people how to survive in this situation that we are in, but also to better their lives and make things better for those that they come after them.
So, Al, hang on 1 second, Al. Let's go to the phone lines. Who do we have on the line?
Matt's calling from Janesville.
Hey, Matt, how you doing, man? Thank you very much for the call. Thank you very much for listening. You say what?
Just kidding. We lost him.
Okay. But anyway, let's go back to the fact that, yeah, you know, it's tough. I'll say this, you know, I certainly have not had the longevity, of involvement with families and children that you have. You are an inspiration in the dedication and the lives that you've touched. You know, you really, you deserve more accolades than I think any of us can give you in your lifetime.
I don't work
but
for accolades.
I know you don't. Al, I know you don't. Don't forget, I know you. Yeah, I know you. But the point I'm making is that today, what these children are faced with and these parents are faced with is a little more difficult than what, you know, what's happening when I was coming up in the 70s, in the 60s and the 70s. And the kids that I deal with today, you know, have access. And, yeah, there were guns around when you were a young man, but not like there are now. I mean, there's so many guns. Boys 10, 11, 12 years old have guns. And you got to ask the question, how in the world is it possible in a society that these young boys can have access to a gun before they can have access to food and a roof over their heads? But
because they're being set up to be destroyed. They're set up to kill themselves and each other.
Okay, so now,
it's a society problem that, you know, they didn't make the guns and they don't distribute them around the community.
Okay, so Al, so now you are right there. You and I know that, you know, when kids can get access, I talk with some of the kids while they're in school, and I always say to them, I mean, let's go to the phone lines first. Who do we have on the line?
L.A. Tom's calling in.
Hey, L.A. Tom, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, Earl, first off, we the people are the government. And I am a proud FDR Democrat, and I hope more Democrats actually start bringing FDR back up. As far as this issue goes, my dad was a football coach also for 40 years in Durand, Wisconsin, and at his memorial service, we only have 2,000 people in the town, and over 2,500 people showed up at the high school for his memorial service, and it was at the high school gym, and he had people from all around the world that came out and, shared stories that they had heard from other people who had told them they need to fly from India or wherever it was to Durand, Wisconsin, to say goodbye to Pete Adler. And I think the greatest thing you can do, and Al's touching on it, is being a coach, being a teacher, being a active participant in the society. Kids want discipline, but they don't want to be taken advantage of. So if you lead by example, if you lead by accountability, if you lead by all of us taking a stock in our society, rather than watching stupid shows like the Kardashians and all of this other stuff, anything that gets a rating bump or a Twitter click, kids want the discipline. One of my favorite movie, well, it is my favorite movie, is Lean on Me with that showed that there was discipline. I am not in favor of any type of charter schools, or I'm in favor of the public school, and I'm in favor of that we fund the public schools differently than by our property taxes, as you know. But I see that what people are wanting is they're wanting for there to be some discipline with kids, but then also the kids don't want to be disappointed by the people that are leading them.
Hey, Tom.
I coach football myself.
Tom, we got to go to a break, Tom. You can hit us back later. 844-967-2789 on the line. My good friend Al Holmes, my father's house. We'll be right back.